Hi everybody, today's passage is from Mark chapter 6. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 6, which is a little bit shorter than the passages that we've been looking at throughout this week so far. But again, this is Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Referring to Jesus, he went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. All right, so in this passage, Jesus returns to his hometown of Nazareth. And while he's there on the Sabbath, he goes to the local synagogue and begins to teach. People hear his teachings and they start to say, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands?" And so on first glance, it can seem actually a lot like what we read back in Mark chapter 1, when people heard his teachings and they were astonished because he taught with this new authority, unlike the scribes. However, if you continue reading, you'll quickly realize that this is actually very different. We see that the people actually took offense at Jesus. You see, the people weren't astonished in the sense that they were in awe and amazed by Jesus' authority. They were actually scoffing at him. They rejected him. Jesus, of course, recognizes this. He's not surprised. Hence his statement that a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. Basically, he's saying that in your hometown, a prophet does not have honor. But here's the kicker. Verse 5 says, "And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." The part of that verse that probably stands out to most of you is that first part, "and he could do no mighty work there." You could read that and think like, whoa, wait, Jesus could do no mighty work in Nazareth? And he marveled because of their unbelief? You read that and it sure sounds like Jesus couldn't do anything because the people did not believe, as if Jesus' powers were somehow limited and shut down by the lack of belief in him. Because people did not believe in him, he was unable to do mighty works. That could be very easy to think about it in that kind of way. I know this is kind of a weird example, but as I was reading this, it sort of reminded me of the Christmas movie classic Elf. If you've never seen this movie, this might sound like a very weird example, but at one point near the end of the movie, Santa, yes, that Santa, his sleigh crashes and is unable to fly because of a shortage of quote-unquote Christmas spirit. Again, this might sound weird or confusing, but basically in the movie, they explain that Santa's sleigh runs on the power of Christmas spirit, sort of like a car does on gas. Without Christmas spirit, or without this belief in Santa and what Christmas is supposedly all about, the sleigh has no fuel. Once again, this is maybe a weird example, but we can read this passage in Mark 6 and think something similar to this. We might think that the more people believe, the more Jesus is able to do. That all you have to do is believe, and then mighty works will happen. And therefore, that's why mighty works didn't happen. People didn't believe. People of Nazareth didn't believe, and therefore Jesus could not do anything. But in reality, that's not quite true. It's not about believing more and then more powerful things can happen. Because let's think about the purpose of the works of Jesus. Jesus healed and performed miracles not simply because he could or to show off. It wasn't even primarily to fix people's problems. It was primarily to bear witness to himself. The signs and wonders were to show the world that he is the Son of God and the Messiah that they all had been longing and waiting for. And through all of that, point them to the Father and the coming kingdom of God. That's who Jesus is, and that's what his work is all about. But take another look at how the people of Nazareth view him. Back in verse 3, they essentially say, "Wait, isn't this that Jesus kid who grew up here? That carpenter, right? Yeah, he's the son of Mary, and we know all of his siblings, James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and all of his sisters. Yeah, what's he doing teaching here at the synagogue on the Sabbath? I mean, look at him. Who does he think he is? He's just a carpenter. What is he doing?" That's the kind of attitude that the people had in their response to his teaching. Rather than opening up their hearts to Jesus as Lord, the people stubbornly held on to their views and beliefs about who he is. To them, Jesus was not the anointed one sent by God. He was still that carpenter that they'd seen grow up in Nazareth. Despite all of his teachings and even miraculous works, teaching that they recognize is amazing, they remain stubborn and refuse to believe. Hence, why Jesus wasn't able to do much in terms of bearing witness. Just simply heal a few sick people, which I love, by the way, because to Jesus, that's just a very normal, casual thing that happens. But that was it. So again, in the end, it's not about Jesus' inability to do miracles or signs, but rather the people's stubbornness, their closed hearts. Now, it could be really easy for us to read this and cast judgment upon these people for their stubbornness and unwillingness to believe. But as I was reflecting on this passage, I was actually reminded of my time in Vietnam a few years back. Back in 2017, Pastor Barry and I spent about a month traveling throughout Vietnam, meeting with many house church pastors, and I learned a lot throughout that trip, and it was a really cool, eye-opening time. But one of the things that stood out to me the most were the sheer number of stories telling of miracles. It seemed like every pastor we met had at least one story, many had more than that, of a physical healing or a miraculous act of God's provision or a clear sign of God's power moving in and around them. It was really amazing, and I'm happy to share specific stories another time. But at one point during this trip, after having heard so many of these stories of miracles, I remember I asked Pastor Barry, kind of incredulously, how is it that so many miracles seem to happen here, and yet we don't see or hear about these kinds of things to this degree back home in the United States? I don't remember exactly what Pastor Barry said, but I remember my takeaway was something similar to what we just read in Mark 6. Many of us, especially those of us who've grown up here in the West, we fail to see Jesus for who he truly is. In some ways, we've grown hard-hearted and stubborn. Or maybe we have made him Lord over certain areas of our lives, but in other areas, what the world says or teaches is actually our primary authority. And because of that, because of a lack of full, complete surrender, a lack of openness to who Jesus really is, we fail to see and recognize Jesus' works in full. Because keep in mind, in Mark 6, it's not that Jesus sat around and didn't do anything while in Nazareth. He still taught in the synagogue, and he did so with the same authority that he had elsewhere. He still healed people, just as he had done elsewhere. The difference here was that the people failed to recognize this. In fact, out of their stubbornness, they refused to recognize who he is. So as I close out, let me just ask a couple questions here. In what ways has your heart been hardened towards God? In what ways have you pigeonholed or compartmentalized Jesus? Today, let's pray that our hearts would become increasingly open to him. Maybe there are still certain matters that you're unsure about, things that you have questions or doubts about, and that's okay. The point of this is not just about so that we can see miracles or things like that happen. I mean, that'd be great, but all this is about remaining open to Jesus, recognizing and seeing him for who he is. So let's pray in that way. Let's pray that our hearts would be increasingly open to him. And as that happens, that we would see the mighty works of Jesus in and around us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And today we want to take this time to recognize who you are. Lord, we confess that there are likely in all of us areas of our hearts that are closed, that maybe don't recognize who you are in full. And Lord, in part, we know that this is a journey, an ongoing journey of understanding who you are and growing to know you more and more. But God, I pray for a continued openness in our hearts. Not so that we can just see signs, or not just so that we can get this or that thing, but so that we can come to know you for who you really are. Make you Lord over every area of our lives, Lord. And from that, to see, Lord, your works as you will, God, in and around us, Lord. Give us humble hearts, Lord. I pray against stubbornness. We ask once again, Lord, that we would see your work being done. Your kingdom would come. We would see it all around us, Lord. Thank you for this time in your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.